Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul. My co-host is Justin Baker. And Justin, we're at the quarter mark of the NHL season.
That's kind of depressing if you really think about
depressing.
It. Depressing? It's flying by.
It is flying
so
by.
So fast.
It is flying by. But it has been a spectacular start to the season. We've seen a lot of goals, some great comebacks. We've seen some teams dominate like the Lightning. And other than that, you basically have the Lightning running away with it and the Coyotes who have come on strong and
hot streak, two wins in a row.
This is November 20th, 2017. We're recording this about 9 p.m. So the Coyotes are playing right now against the Leafs. So, I mean, hey, if they manage to pull this one out, that'd be three in a row. And they'd be
a win streak.
They would be the hottest team in the NHL, I think. Oh, aside from the Jets, unless
yes.
The Jets lose tonight, which, anyways, well, if the Jets and the Leafs lose, then that would mean that Arizona is the hottest team in the NHL. Figure that one out. So, what we want to do on the show today, with it being the quarter mark, it's a good time to look back at some early predictions, see where we've landed so far, and then we'll give out some awards based on the first quarter of the season, who we'd award those to, and we'll talk all news that's been going on across the league, and some games that we're looking forward to, a massive slate of games upcoming Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. There's 40 games on.
That's crazy.
Wednesday 15, Friday 14, and 11 on Saturday. I know that the Leafs play all 3 days, and they play today, so 4-6. Got a lot to go around. The only team not playing on Wednesday, you said it earlier, it's
St. Louis.
The Blues, that's
yes.
Right. So, yeah, everybody except for the Blues fans get to enjoy, what day, like Thanksgiving Eve? Is there a name for that Wednesday? I don't
know. The biggest drinking holiday in the
yeah,
country. My goodness.
Do you go out? Do you like to go out on that day? I mean,
no,
you used to be a bartender, right?
Yeah, so. I used to. And it did get a little crazy. I mean, obviously, people don't have to go to work the next day, which is the main reason why people go out and just get hammered.
But people
or
don't
drink
have to go to
bit.
Work on the Saturdays a lot of time.
Yeah, well, right? I mean.
So Friday night.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, though, like people are stuffing their faces all weekend and just being lazy or going out of town, you know, to visit the relatives and stuff like that. So
they don't mind being hungover for
yeah.
being with their family?
No, not at all.
They have an excuse to be quiet and not pay attention?
Right. But I'm doing a little Friendsgiving this year.
Oh, okay. We had our Friendsgiving on
yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't make
Saturday.
It. I was
okay.
A little busy. But
that's all right. No, it was a blast. We
good.
Actually watched hockey at my Friendsgiving.
Wow.
So. Which like,
that sounds much more fun than my Friendsgiving.
Oh, your Friendsgiving? You're not
Kirsten, if you're listening, don't listen to what I just said.
Yeah, she won't listen.
No, she won't.
they don't listen. Yeah. Not that women don't listen to the show. I don't.
Girlfriends don't listen to the show.
Our girlfriends
they
don't.
They get sick of hearing me talk about hockey all the time, so.
Yeah, yeah. But mine was at our game tonight.
She was. And
we
you,
tied it up with 0.8 seconds
my
left
goodness,
in the game.
You had one heck of a game.
Oh, yeah. I felt good tonight.
Yeah,
had
it was
two
good.
Goals, assists, and yeah.
I had a shaky game, but
that's all right.
You guys.
Sometimes the five holes open for business.
Oh my goodness, it was open and
Kirsten. Hopefully you're listening.
hopefully
well,
her parents aren't.
Hopefully they are. So let's. We'll just run down a couple things that have happened here in the last couple of days. Matt Reed is on waivers for the Flyers, so him and his $3.6 million. I don't think they get scooped up. You
yeah.
think anybody's going to come
not
after
really.
Them? I don't.
No.
Yeah. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, though, so that if there's a team, I have one theory. If there's a team who would be looking for a bottom six forward,
mm-hmm.
it would be one who recently traded one away and is struggling and could use anything at this point to maybe help them push closer to the win column more often, the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh,
could he
yeah.
be a replacement for Juuse Jokinen?
I mean, at this point, they can. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try anything.
They have the space.
Yes.
They have about $8 million in space, so they could do it. However, I don't. I just don't see it. But
probably not. But
But that would be my the one team to me that it would make a little bit of sense to go after. But so Matt Reed, we'll see if he ends up somewhere other than Philadelphia. More than likely, he goes down to the minors, and once there's an injury, they'll call him back up. The two big signings that have happened, one really only big for Leafs fans, but an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So Josh Levo gets a one-year $925 cap hit. So a good deal of signing him to it. And Levo, a lot of people talk about how he, if he was given the playing time, he'd be a solid 20-goal scorer, which when you look at his numbers, it's like every time he plays, he scores a goal. He's good 5-on-5. He can shoot the puck. And he just has trouble breaking into the lineup because of other players. But a Van Riemsdyk leaves, and suddenly he maybe Bozak is out the guy door. We'll see what happens.
Hey, if anything, it adds great depth to that organization that is already stacked up front anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And he's a guy that they drafted and have developed, and so he sticks around for one more year. I think that he'd be an unrestricted free agent. Maybe he has one. He would have an arbitration year if he wanted to exercise that. But anyways, the bigger signing, of course, is Columbus Blue Jacket right winger Cam Atkinson, 28 years old, signs a 7-year, $5.8 million a year. So what was that, $41.25 million?
Yeah.
A nice number to get Cam Atkinson, who scored 30 goals. He scored, what, 25 every year for the last 4 years, something like that?
Yeah, 20-plus goals. I mean, it's a good signing, but boy, does that team need some scoring right now? They
well, they couldn't they could not afford to lose
them. No. You have
they don't
to
have too many pure goal scorers like Atkinson is. You've got Panarin, and then you have a lot of guys that are very talented, but Atkinson is kind of your, we'll say, like a Phil Kessel style guy. He's a little smaller. He shoots the puck very well. He gets the job done most of the time, but he's not incredibly flashy. Just has a good shot.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at his numbers too, he's trending up every single year. He started out 4 years ago, 21, then 22, 27, 35 goals last year. Same with the points, just kept getting better every year. So ideally, if you're looking at it from a Columbus standpoint, you're hoping maybe he's in just a little bit of a slump and he's going to pick it right back up and just keep getting better. And I mean, let's be honest, I think 7 games, they have 9 goals or something terrible like that.
They haven't been scoring at a very high clip, so they can definitely use him, need him stepping up. Bruce Garriock of the Ottawa Citizen reporting that Marc Bergevin, GM of the Montreal Canadiens, is the most active general manager in the NHL right now, and that he is looking to make a move to, quote, shake things up. Galchenyuk?
Ooh.
That to me is you're not getting rid of Pacioretty. I think that
Pacioretty's gonna get you the best return though if you're the Canadiens and
I think that Galchenyuk gets you a better return.
You think so?
Pacioretty.
Wow. Yeah. I mean
because Galchenyuk still is, he's so young.
Right, I get the age
and
thing.
when he's put into the right situation, he seems to do pretty well. And maybe it's been, I don't know, is there that big of a difference between Michel Therrien and Claude Julien? Do you sense that there's, you know, a lot of times teams, like a guy like Michel Therrien, he didn't give a flying, if he didn't like you, if he didn't really care. I don't know if anybody on that team thought he liked them. But that's the kind of, like, he at least that's the way that he comes across, that he's that kind of hard-ass coach. And
right.
Whereas I don't think that Claude Julien's that different from that. He's a little more of a system guy, but I don't think that they're super different in their philosophy. Whereas a lot of times when a team goes the hard-nosed coach, then they bring in a coach who's more of a quote-unquote player coach and maybe is a little more loose in the way that they
Handle
the room, and they
kind of like with the Dave Tippett versus Rick Tocchet situation, or
right.
Sutter versus in LA there too. But
that has worked out.
It has, absolutely. But for me, anyway, and
I say that because we're talking Galchenyuk. Maybe it's that Galchenyuk hasn't meshed with either coach because I don't know, some younger guys.
Sometimes they need to be babied a little bit.
not necessarily babied, but they want input and they want to be able to, I don't know, maybe have a good relationship with their coach. And maybe the fact that it doesn't seem like he's had a good relationship with either coach, is that wearing on him? And he's under a lot of pressure in Montreal. Just take the pressure of Montreal off of him.
That's huge for any player.
And I mean, maybe that changes things.
Sure, but for me, two reasons why I think, again, Pacioretty is going to get you a higher return. One, smaller cap hit, and he has one less year on his deal than Galchenyuk does.
But he's unrestricted, and Galchenyuk is a restricted free agent.
Yes, absolutely. So still.
You've got.
Yeah, and then two, you don't hear about issues with Pacioretty. The guy's just
that's steady why Montreal's not going to trade him.
Well, that might be why they could trade him and get a better return because, you know, Galchenyuk's kind of a loose cannon. You don't know what you're going to get out of him in terms of attitude and, you know, play on the ice. So who knows?
This is very true.
Yeah.
John Gibson last night, which was Sunday night.
Unreal.
Had 50 saves.
53 shots against, I think it was.
52, yeah.
52, yeah.
Yeah, in a 3-2 win.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Panthers. How the Panthers mustered 52 shots, that's, well they did it against the San Diego Gulls, right?
Right, yeah, exactly, so, when you don't have Getzlaff and Kessler and Cam Fowler, of course.
Has been marvelous for that team.
Yeah, he could easily fall in the category for me, top four, top five goalies in the league, in terms of what they mean to their team right now.
That's a fair statement. In terms of what they mean to their team and how important they are right in this moment,
yeah.
I don't know if there's a more important goalie in the NHL to his team than John Gibson.
No, I'll say Sergei Bobrovsky on that one. For a team that can't score and his numbers are just top of the charts for everybody right now, I'm going Bobby on that one. But
yeah, but see, Anaheim has no one.
No. I'll give you that. So they don't have a team in front of them.
Gibson, they are completely toasted. Without Bobrovsky, I wonder. You know, has their backup goalie played much this year?
Let me look into that here.
Korpisalo.
Yeah, let me pull that up.
So yeah, go look at Korpisalo's numbers, and let's see what his numbers are compared to Bobrovsky. Now, I'm not in any way trying to like dig for Korpisalo is just as good as Bobrovsky, but even though a team can't score, they certainly play a much more systematic game.
Well, he's got an .896 save percentage and a
3.28
goals. Yeah,
it's a B plus.
I mean, he's 1-3 when he's in net.
Okay,
so yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, man. I guess he is very important. I mean, we're going to talk Vezina winners through the first quarter of the season, and it's going to be hard not to have his name.
Yep.
At or near the top of that list. Well, do you want to just jump right into?
Let's do it.
Our awards.
Start it off.
Before I do I know we talked about this a little bit, but
yeah.
I love this question, and I was blown away by this question. There is one team that has made the Stanley Cup Finals in the history of the league that doesn't have a top four pick on that team.
Yeah, which, again, for me as a Red Wings fan, thinking about that, that makes you want to just kind of tank a little bit and be like, well, let's go get us a top four pick here.
That, yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's essential to have high-end players on your team.
Like you said, there's only been one team. So
to make it.
Yes.
And so we're not talking just to win it. We're talking to make it. So that doubles the amount of team. Essentially, there's been 200 teams in the Stanley Cup Final, and one of them, that's 0.5% of the time, one of them didn't have a top four pick. Yeah. That team, the 04 Calgary Flames.
Yeah, crazy. And a lot of you, too, and same thing I said, you know, Jerome Iginla was the first name that popped in my head. But, of course, after looking it up, he went number 11 to Dallas.
Yep.
So...
So, anyways, just as my little bit of trivia. I love that. I was blown away by that.
Let's start throwing those in every week. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's. What award do you want to start with? Do you want to start? Let's start with the Hart Trophy.
The Hart, most the valuable Hart. Player.
Who is the most valuable player in the NHL? Now, there's some pretty obvious choices. I mean, we just talked about Bobrovsky and Gibson, who have been definitely the MVP of their teams. Very important. And then you have Kucherov and Stamkos, who maybe if you could combine them as one person in like they could both win the Hart, I think that it would be hard to argue that. But because you can only have one of them, and I don't know if you can have one without the other.
No, that's it's
Kucherov. I mean, Kucherov was lights out last year alone without Stamkos, but together right. They are just
it's a dynamic duo.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else that you'd throw into that Hart conversation right now?
I'm going to talk another goaltender here. And
you were going to say Connor Hellebuck.
I am going to say Connor Hellebuck. Yeah. This guy to me, and especially because, again, U of M product, loved this kid when he came out of college and was so high on him. He came in this year and, again, had a mediocre below average season last year and kind of looked like maybe the wheels were falling off. Was he going to be able to turn it around and really turn into that goaltending prospect that I thought he could be and that the Winnipeg Jets obviously hoped he could be?
Well, I remember years ago you talking about
him. Yeah.
I think you took him in fantasy and I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, because, again, I don't like Andrei Pavlik, but that's a whole other story. Steve Mason comes in, and I actually thought that was a decent signing. I thought this is a good veteran guy who looked pretty decent last year in Philly. Not good, but decent enough. I figured with a better team in front of him, he could probably be a halfway decent goaltender and a good starter to go, 50-50 with Hellebuck. But he came out, and he immediately shit the bed, and Hellebuck just took the reins and said, okay, bye. This is mine now. My team. See ya. Take your $4 million and sit on the bench.
All right.
Yeah. 11-1-2. 2.2 goals against average and a .931 save percentage. He's not losing games for that team.
That's lights out.
Yeah. Who do you got?
The only other name that I would throw into the ring would be a Johnny Gaudreau. Because I think he leads the league in assists. I think he's got 20 assists, 29 points. He's third in the league in scoring. And without Gaudreau, I mean, that Flames team has not looked good. And they're the third spot in their division.
Yeah, so, I think that Gaudreau-Monahan duo is like right. If you want to talk about good duos in the league, and you can throw in like maybe again another name like Shen and Schwartz, or maybe throw Tarasenko's name in that mix too. But if you talk about good duos, guys that are really getting it done for their team, they're right. Yeah, right underneath that Stamkos Kucherov line.
Gaudreau to me is this far and away superior player. Far and away, he just happens to play the wing. Yeah. He just happens to play the wing. I think that Monahan's a very good player. I don't know if Monahan actually is a number one center, or if it's that Gaudreau makes him a number one center.
I think that's fair to say.
The Flames have and then you have Michael Ferlin, who's been playing with those two guys,
mm-hmm.
and then I know that they've tried
Jager for one game. And
that's not happening. He's too slow. You can't keep up with him.
But that's a fair assessment, I think you've had time. There's been times in the past too where good centers make wingers really good.
Well, and so that's what you want. Winger. Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Patrick Kane drives his line.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes him so good is that he didn't need to play with Jonathan Toews. He was able to, he was able to drive a line by himself. Definitely helped having Panarin, but he was able to drive a line himself. Okay, so who wins it for you?
Honestly, you got to give it to one of the Lightning guys at this point.
I don't think you can give it to anyone but Kucherov.
Yeah, it's
in the end.
I mean, Stamkos has done a lot, but when Kucherov is putting the
goals,
it's kind of hard to go away from him and make that argument. Even though Stamkos does have 10 goals through 20 games, so he's still on pace for 40 goals himself.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Oh yeah,
if you have a line with two 40 goal scorers on it, that's unreal.
Well, he's on pace to score like 60.
I know. I don't think I remember any team that had two 40-goal scorers in one year.
Ovechkin scored 60 goals once
in
his career, and that's the only time.
Stammer got 60 once, I mean.
Oh, he did get 60 once, too, yeah. Okay.
He had Marty St. Louis
feeding
the puck.
Yeah,
but, you know.
There's the two guys that we've seen score 60 goals in the salary cap era.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anybody score 60 goals before that. I think Brett Hull had like 86 one year.
I mean, yeah. You have to go back to those
60
90s.
Goals?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Well, you look that up. So we'll give that to Kucherov. He wins. Jack Adams. I think that Jack Adams is an interesting race this year, because on the one hand, you have Vegas, who is just blowing everyone out of the water in terms of the way that they're playing. They're playing a great system game. They're winning. They were not supposed to win like this. So I would say, as far as being the such low expectations, Jágr scored 62 goals 1 year.
Yep.
There we go. 95-96. But as far as expectations go, I mean, they had the lowest of the low expectations.
There were no expectations. That's how low
I mean,
it was.
Maybe the last time we had a team with this low expectations was in 1999 when the Atlanta Thrashers and came into the league.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Did they come into the league alone that year?
99? No, I think...
Because I know that Minnesota and Columbus came in the same year.
What was it? Nashville came in that year, too?
Nashville came in like 97,
was it? 98, maybe?
97, 90, or 98, 99.
Okay.
In 98, 99. Yeah, something like that. But anyways, I think that the Atlanta Thrashers had the lowest expectations because of the location, too. Like, it was Atlanta. Come on. They've failed there two times now. So we've got Vegas. Of course, John Cooper has done a great job in Tampa Bay. And then you have Paul Maurice, who's been. I don't really think that this is because of Paul Maurice personally.
No.
I don't think he's that good of a coach.
I'm right there with you.
Fine, but I don't think that this is because of him. I think this is they're getting good goaltending finally, and
the team's finally showing up. They've had these expectations for Winnipeg for the last couple of years now, and it's almost like the beast finally awoke, and they're doing what everybody thought they probably could.
Right. And then John Stevens in L.A., I think, is at least an honorable mention. L.A. changing their whole style and everybody going, I don't know. Do you have the personnel? And they're taking a guy like Dustin Brown, who everybody thought, my God, that's an anchor of a contract for the next 5 years. And now he's tearing it up with Kopitar. And they look great. And they look like players that can play with speed. So something's going right, and they're coaching those boys the right way. So John Stevens would be my little honorable mention there.
Okay, I'll throw a name out for you that maybe he could be a bubble coach and maybe the Jack Adams Award. But for right now, John Hines for the New Jersey Devils. Yeah, he's been looking pretty good. He's letting the young guys go, and now it's pretty funny too. What Zajac comes back for two games and they lose both games, and now everybody's just throwing, like, get rid of him, throw him at that fourth line and stop playing him. But nevertheless, he's done very well with what he has, and he's not getting good goaltending.
They didn't lose to Winnipeg because of Travis Zajac.
Right.
I hate when a guy comes back from injury and everybody's all over him if they lose the game.
Yeah, that cracks me up.
Dude, your team can lose, and it's... I mean, there are statistical ways to look. All right, this is he did not lose that game, nor did his the Leafs beat them too. Let's be honest, Freddie Anderson beat the Devils in that game.
Right. No, and so. You can't be mad anyways when you lose to teams like Winnipeg and Toronto, and like, oh, you mean we lost to two of the best teams in the league, and we're mad about it?
Right.
Like,
right.
That's all your fault. No, it's just they're that good. They're allowed to beat you, and you're still a good team. But not that I think the Devils are going to finish well throughout the rest of the season. But if they do, you know, maybe you got a little bit of thank a little Hines for that.
Okay. So who gets your Jack Adams?
You know what? I'm going to defer this one to you because I honestly don't have an answer for you right now.
Okay, I'm going Gerard Gallant.
Okay.
I think that it is because of him that this team is where it's at. It is because of the style of coach or the style of play that he's implemented there, and I don't necessarily think that over the long haul that he's a coach that's gonna. I don't see him as a Stanley Cup winning coach, but I think he's a great coach for these teams with minimal talent where you can work hard. He seems to inspire his teams well, and it's working.
Yeah.
For now.
Okay. I'll second that. And only because I like kind of rubbing the fact that he is winning in the Florida Panthers' face for getting rid of him and treating him the way they did, that whole situation, the way that went down. It makes me feel really good that he's having some success at his next gig.
That's very true.
So,
Calder Trophy.
Ooh. Yeah. Calder Trophy.
Brock Besser. He's been coming on strong.
Yeah.
He's been rolling.
Easy pick.
I think he has, I think he's at about a point per game. And you've got Clayton Keller with 12 goals.
Okay.
And then, of course, Matthew Barzal. I think he has 20 points.
Is it that high already?
20 games.
My goodness.
He's been absolutely brilliant.
Wow. Yeah, I don't even know where to start with that one. I think right now for me, I got to give it to Clayton Keller, considering the team around him, how bad Arizona's looked, and he's still putting the puck in the back of the net, and he's going out there, and he's a small guy. He's not big. He's not out-muscling people like, you know, Brock Besser may do a little bit of, you know. He's just a little guy going out there and putting the puck in the back of the net and just saying, huh, you think Arizona's a terrible team? Well, I'm just going to score, so bye.
Yeah, he is a – not that I put a whole lot into this, but he is a minus -9, whereas Barzal is a plus +3. Clayton Keller looked real good early when they were really stinking.
Yeah,
and he was the only good thing there.
Now, is that a product of him actually getting the ice time and the Sedins playing that fourth line role like we talked about a couple weeks
Besser?
Ago? Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Clayton Keller.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. But yeah, Besser, yeah, of course. Yeah, Besser actually is at a point per game. He's the one guy with a point per game. He's played 17 games, has 17 points, 7 goals, 10 assists. No, Brock Besser looks very good. Looks very good. He's getting the proper ice time. Clayton Keller, I think that he was scoring some of his goals when the game didn't matter anymore. I do think that he's going to be a special player and good on the Coyotes because they've kind of gotten screwed in a few of these draft lotteries. I know they would have loved to have Austin Matthews being from the area.
From the desert, yeah.
But I think that he'll be a good player. I see him maybe falling down this list as the season goes in terms of points. But Matthew Barzal is protected. He's playing behind John Tavares.
Yep.
And that bodes well for you. When you're a rookie and you're able to – you're centering a line, you're driving the play, but you also get to play against teams' second and third lines. And that Atlantic Division, the Metro.
Yeah.
There's been some unexpectedly bad teams coming through that division too. So.
Yep, one name to keep an eye out for, though, I'll give you two names. Colorado, again, probably one of the main reasons they started becoming a little bit more lenient towards trading Duchesne is the fact that this guy named Alexander Kerfoot just decided to step up his game. He's got, 15 points or 19 games right now, so looking pretty good for a center there for them. And don't sleep on Mr. Sergachev in Tampa
or
Bay.
Will Butcher,
yeah,
in New Jersey. Yeah, it'll be good. I mean, this year for rookies has been very good. Very good. I mean, even buried down there, you've got guys like Alex Tuck. Martin Furk is technically a rookie.
That's very true.
So, yeah, a good year for rookies. Okay, who are you giving that trophy to?
For me, I like Clayton Keller, but I think as the year goes on, I think teams like Arizona, Vancouver sort of start slipping. You're going to see their production, I think, sort of tilt a little bit down in maybe the direction that the team wouldn't like to see. But for me, I got to give it to Sergachev. I think in the end, he's with a very, very good Tampa Bay team. He's got a lot of good offensive players to play around. He gets power play time. He drives that second unit behind Hedman.
Montreal fans will be really excited about
that. Yeah. he's my guy. Who do you got?
Matthew Barzal.
Okay.
Hands, yeah.
That's fair.
He has. I think early on, everybody was thinking, how's this Islanders team going to score beyond their top line? And he has been the answer, 100%.
Yeah.
So if he can keep playing the way that he's playing, or even close to it, the Islanders are going to be a dangerous team.
Yeah, and it gives Tavares a reason to hang around and say, hey, well, maybe if I stick with this, you know, we got this kid behind me, he might turn out to be my Evgeny Malkin to my, my Sidney Crosby. So
that Metro is actually a lot tighter than I thought it would. They're first and last separated by 5 points.
That's crazy.
The Islanders are the first wild card if they win their first place in the division.
Wow.
So, yeah, that division is pretty tight.
All right.
So, Okay, well, let's go Vezina Trophy. Well, I think we already know who you're picking.
I think you kind of know, yeah.
Okay, so you're going Connor Hellebuyck. Yep.
Don't sleep on Bobby either. He's phenomenal. It wouldn't shock me if they give it to him again. So, and then you could also throw in a guy like Andre Vasilevsky, who's been doing pretty good in Tampa. He's putting up some good numbers, and you know the W's always help when it comes to this category. So, his name, I wouldn't sleep on him either. But who else you like in there?
My pick for the Vezina Trophy.
Give it to me
for the first quarter of the season.
Okay,
is I'm actually going to go away from Bobrovsky. I think he has a lot of talent around him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great goalie. I think he also gets helped because of name recognition. And this guy is a guy who he doesn't get much recognition as being a great goaltender because of the team that he's had around him. But I'm going to say Corey Crawford is actually reason that the Chicago Blackhawks are in a playoff position right now. Corey Crawford is a .933 save percentage. Corey Crawford has been very good, and just sneakingly good for the Chicago Blackhawks. They're winning games 2-1, 3-2, and that they maybe have no business winning. So I'm going to tip my cap to Corey Crawford, especially since he's never been a guy. He's never been the reason.
But no,
he is now.
That's fair. I mean, if you really look back in history and you look at those good Chicago Blackhawk teams, everybody's like, oh, Duncan Keith or Patrick Kane, you know. But never once have we ever looked back at the goaltending and said, that's the reason why they're winning. And this year,
right,
it clearly is with those kind of numbers.
All right, let's go Norris.
Ooh, I like this one. So what kind of guys? I'll let you go first on this one.
Well, we'll throw some names out. Alex Pietrangelo leads all defensemen in scoring.
Yep.
And St. Louis is first place in the division. They've been rolling, and he is a big reason for it. I think that because Kevin Shattenkirk was played with him, now we're seeing the results of no more having to worry about getting back for Kevin Shattenkirk.
Yeah.
Suddenly Alex Pietrangelo is much more offensive.
Yeah, and Shattenkirk was always the go-to guy in the power play too, so now it's just Pietrangelo. I mean,
my fantasy hockey team used to be called the Pot Pie Trangelos. And I photoshopped a picture of his face inside of a pot pie.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's great.
That was
my favorite team. And I won the championship. That's the year I beat you.
Don't remind me.
In the championship. So Pietrangelo, there's Klingberg. Klingberg's tied with Pietrangelo for the league lead in points for defensemen. I think a guy that deserves to be in the conversation, Morgan Riley. He's really proven that he's a number one defenseman, I think, in this league. He's changed his game to where he's looks so much more confident in making plays. And now you're seeing, I think, the player that Brian Burke drafted a long time ago, where he actually said in that draft, I think they drafted Morgan Riley fourth overall, and he said Morgan Riley will be remembered as the best player in this draft. And so, and we had him at number one, and if we had the number one pick, we would have taken Morgan Riley, is what they said.
Okay.
So,
wow.
And then, of course, Erik Karlsson, he's only played 14 games, and he has 17 points. So that's dumb, and he has one goal, but who cares? Those are maybe my four guys that I'd throw into that conversation.
Okay. I always enjoy watching Mike Green, even though, again, he's a second-line guy. He's not going to go against your team's top line. So,
my bad. Victor Hedman should certainly be conversation, too.
I was going to mention him, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of that, I kind of... Ooh. I mean, I love what Drew Doughty's doing in that whole L.A. team. They're fun to watch now. They're not so boring, just sit back and play good defense and win games 2-1 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they're letting him go. He's already got 14 points through 21 games. So again, this is bodes very well for him. Again, very high in Sergachev, but he's going to be that, you know, second pairing guy who gets top power play unit minutes, just like Mike Green. So maybe not so much him, but another guy who is sneakily surprising, in my opinion, who I would pay much attention to, especially like what you said for your rookie of the year pick.
Attention to.
Yes. For your rookie of the year pick, he he's a direct effect of this, is Nick Leddy. A guy who never got a lot of love when he was in Chicago. Left, came over the Islanders. He's very fast, very offensively minded, and he is hanging on that top line, and he can shut down top units very well.
Eighth in defensive scoring. And I unfortunately, the Norris Trophy has become more like who's the highest scoring defenseman.
Right. Which is why, again, I think Erik Karlsson gets so much recognition for that.
Sure. But he drives so much the play.
Yeah, that's very true.
But I like that little sleeper pick of Nick Leddy. Yeah. He is looking good. And the Islanders, I think the Islanders are only getting better. I'm very, very high on the Islanders, as I've said here before. By the way, 2012 draft, Morgan Riley taken 5th overall. That's my mistake. And it's not surprising to hear Brian Burke say, and it was actually in this draft year, but he said we would have taken Morgan Riley 1st overall, and he would have taken him over Nail Yakupov, Ryan Murray, Alex Galchenyuk, and Griffin Reinhart, and I think I would too.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely hindsight.
Maybe there's Hampus Lindholm's in this draft.
There's a good one.
Philip Forsberg is in this draft, and that's probably the only other guys where you could go, maybe I'd rather have one of those guys over.
I'll tell you who I've enjoyed watching thoroughly is when you mentioned Anaheim's Lindholm there, Mr. Manson from Anaheim. I don't know if you saw his goal the other day where he just undressed Bobby Lou in goal. Disgusting. Go look it up.
In the game where Gibson had 50 saves.
Yeah. Go look it up for a guy who is supposed to be a defenseman, doesn't put up a lot of points. He's got 10 points through 19 games right now and is a plus 13, which is pretty dang good for a team that doesn't have
absolutely
a lot of offensive output. But nevertheless, who you got winning the Norris?
Well, winning the Norris for the first quarter of the season, I'm going to say it's Pietrangelo. Pietrangelo, I'm not necessarily, at the very end of the season, it could very well be Karlsson, most likely. But for the first quarter, I think that it's Pietrangelo.
That's
Karlsson
fair.
Only played 14 games out of the 20, so I think that it's fair to give it to the guy who's scoring again. He's scoring for really the first time in his career because maybe he was held back by defensive partners, but I give it to Pietrangelo.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly for me right now. And close second, you'll kind of like this. I like Mr. Riley. He's my number two right now at this point for me.
I like him too.
Yeah, I think considering what kind of D is back there, and what he's had to pretty much put on his shoulders for that defense back there, he's risen to the task and looked pretty good. So, and it doesn't hurt that he's got that great offense in front of him, but nevertheless.
Yeah. Let's go biggest disappointment thus far. And this can be players or it can be teams. We'll bunch it all together for the biggest disappointment. Obviously, Arizona was expected to be better than what they were.
Yep.
However, Edmonton was expected to win this division and at very least be in the playoffs and build upon a second round exit from last year.
Yep. Biggest disappointment, and I think obviously the sexy pick is the Edmonton Oilers to just put them out there.
Sure.
For me, it's Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
For me, Jack Eichel's biggest disappointment.
Has not exactly shown that he's worth $10 million the way that he's played.
He's got some points, but he's a minus -9 on a terrible, terrible Buffalo Sabres team.
Yeah, and how much of that is his fault? How much of that is the team around him?
Right. Well, I mean, you can tell emotionally and just, by the way, I can't remember who it was they were playing, but there was a 2-on-1 going back the other way, and Jack Eichel could have back-checked on it. He could have skated, but instead he just leans over. This is, I think, Saturday night's game that Buffalo's playing. Leans over and just puts his stick on his knees and just watches the 2-on-1 go down, and they score.
Mm.
And it's like, that is just a clear-cut picture of what it's like playing in Buffalo right now. It's not a good picture, not a good scene.
It's not pretty.
No, and for me, he's a guy, again, you know, you look at, he's going to be compared to, obviously, Mr. McDavid for a long time, just going number one and number two out of that draft. And he looked like he was getting there, and then this season it just sort of...
I think over the long run, I think that there's also the chance that he may be more fairly compared to Austin Matthews.
Sure.
Because they're going to play each other a lot,
yep,
a lot more than McDavid and Matthews will. They'll play each other twice a year, whereas Eichel and Matthews will play at least 4 times per year, sometimes 5. And Buffalo and Toronto have always had a little thing going.
Yeah, right across the sea.
So I think that maybe that rivalry builds a little more.
And they're both American. I think that kind of plays into it a little bit. You could.
Now, you had Minnesota sixth in their division, which is pretty much exactly where they sit. Actually, they sit a little lower than sixth in their division right now. And that was in our preseason predictions. I had them third in the division. They have always been, Bruce Boudreau always.
He's number one and number two every season.
Regular season coach. I do expect this thing to turn around a little bit. I think that Minnesota's better than what we've seen. But if you believe the whole, you know, what it looks like at Thanksgiving is pretty much what it's going to be. Now, I'd be curious to look at the standings last Thanksgiving and look at them. I don't know if they'd be this, if they were this tight. You've got Minnesota third last in the conference with one win. They're in the first wild card spot. Wow. So, I mean, there's 2 points separate third last and third in the Pacific Division. So we're looking at, I think that some things certainly will and can change. I truly believe that Vegas is going to fall out. I don't see it happening where they continue to surprise teams. Although they beat LA.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They've won two in a row, sneakingly. But, yeah, I think those would be my disappointments. And player-wise, Jack Eichel's just such an... He's an easy target. You know, I'd say if I'm disappointed in someone, I think that it's maybe Patrick Kane. He's really? Been mild to me this year. The whole thing about, he doesn't need Panarin to drive a line. Taves needs Saad. And Saad and Taves look so good. You know, maybe it's that whole, it's Taves and Kane together, that they're both sort of disappointing.
Yeah, Kane is third on that team in goal scoring, which is kind of weird.
Which is okay. I mean, you're not going to be always lights out every single 20-game stretch.
You've got this guy called DeBrincat.
Yeah, Alex DeBrincat.
You know, putting up, he's got 7 goals to Patrick Kane's 6, which is just really weird to think about. And then Anisimov is number one on that team with 10 goals.
Anisimov had a hat trick, so.
Right. Still, I mean, it's weird. But he is leading the team in points, 19 points through 20 games. But I think... You know, again, like you mentioned, when you talk about all that trade when it came down to Saad and Panarin and...
I guess I should re-clarify that it's probably Taves that is disappointing.
Yeah.
Taves who needed Saad so bad, and then he gets him and he's still... What is Taves at right now?
He's 13 points through 20 games.
Yeah.
Not terrible,
I mean,
but...
You're basically on pace for about 50 points. You're making $10.5 million a year. And... We went out and we got you your boy. And what's Saad's numbers right now? Are
7 goals, 10 points through 20 games.
Yeah, it's nothing impressive. Nope. Maybe wishing you had held on to Panarin. Who knows? So most disappointing, it's kind of all over the place. Jack Eichel definitely is a player, though, to me.
Yeah, you could even put that whole Buffalo Sabres team in a hole as just disappointing.
Yep, certainly. And then Edmonton definitely wins the team. What about most surprising? Who's shocking you the most? Honestly,
easy to say Vegas.
For me, it's not even Vegas. Like, Vegas is very surprising, but I expect them to fall back over.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like the way that the Red Wings are playing right now.
Wow, I was not prepared for this one.
I am very surprised at how cohesive they've looked. The second half of the first quarter. So the last, like, 10, 12 games.
So basically when, you know, Anisimov came back, they let the kids loose, kind of letting them do their thing a little bit and, you know, putting
Anisimov
Zetterberg.
Anisimov plays on Chicago.
I'm sorry. Anthony Seau, sorry.
Anthony Seau. Yeah, Anthony Seau has, man, is that kid going to get paid?
He's going to get paid by somebody next year. I don't think it'll be Detroit because they've handicapped themselves cap-wise.
Think they're going to trade him?
If they're not... In the playoff pitcher, they're going to have to because they can't afford to keep him around.
They can't. They're not going to trade him.
They got it. Well,
they'll move out some contract. I mean, Mike Green's going to be gone. But, yeah, this,
they got
this. this team is it's going to present some very difficult difficult decisions for Ken Holland to make.
Yeah,
because
I think if there's a contract or two that need to go so that they can make room for some of these younger kids that are going to need new deals, like Mantha and Larkin, if Nielsen's contract's got to go, and somehow get rid of Erickson's contract. Do something. I'd buy out Erickson, maybe.
Yeah, but that's an option.
To clear a couple million bucks for him. But
I'm just thinking this season, that the decision, if they're still sitting around this playoff spot, I mean, right now they're third in the Atlantic. But if they're competing for a playoff spot, you think they're going to trade Mike Green? They're going to look to move some of their unrestricted free agents, or are they just going to go for it?
No, Kenny Holland's not the type to get rid of.
No, I know, and honestly, it's maybe for the long term future of this franchise, it's a bad thing how well they're doing.
It is, yeah, I agree. Like we said before, no team makes it. Only one team's made it to the Stanley Cup Finals with a top four pick. Without a top four pick. So it's in their best interest to get one, but I mean, everybody would have thought this year would have been the year to do it, to be at the bottom of the league.
And, it certainly looked that way, but I don't think that we expected Montreal and Boston to be this bad. And I don't think that anybody was. It's not surprising to me that Boston's on the outside looking in, but I think we expected them to be a little bit better than they are. Detroit.
Yeah.
I heard somebody talking that they wanted Mantha off the team, and that he was slow and just was a waste of space on the ice.
Tar and feather that person, that is.
What? How? Okay, Mantha is certainly not perfect defensively. He also is his second year in the NHL.
Right.
There are very few players in the NHL in their second year that can compete for the Selke Trophy. Austin Matthews, that's probably about it. Austin Matthews will win the Selke Trophy. I forgot about the Selke. We didn't talk about that.
No, we haven't touched it
yet. You could have Austin Matthews and Nazem Kadri in there for the Selke.
There you go. I'm okay with Matthews.
That's a homer pick.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Matthews, yes. Matthews for the Selke would be, I think, a good one. But yeah. Kadri is the shutdown guy. But
absolutely. For me, biggest surprise so far of the year has got to be Braden Schenn. I did not expect the type of offensive output he was going to get. And granted, he is playing with some great wingers in Schwartz and Tarasenko there. But nevertheless, he is still going out and doing what he needs to do.
And yeah, they play very well. That line is dirty. So, that line is very dirty. I think he fits that line beautifully.
He does the dirty work and lets those boys clean up.
Is Philadelphia kicking themselves for not getting more for him? They got Jordy Laterra for him.
What's Laterra done? Nothing
this season.
I bet you his points are just absolutely horrendous. And I mean, and too, they can be actually. Philly could be shockingly surprised too at how well Sean Couturier has worked out on that top line too. That's another guy you could.
Jordy Laterra has played 13 games. He has 2 points,
2 points,
two assists, and he's a -3.
Get out of town.
He's had 7 shots on goal.
Stop. There's a guy,
he's averaged
actually
10 minutes.
His contract's up after this year, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. See, there's a guy I think that could get moved at the deadline for maybe some depth scoring on a team that might.
A fourth line guy. Yeah. But he's nothing super interesting. How about most underrated player?
Most underrated
through the first 20 games of the season. We'll throw out a couple names. Anders Lee continues to score alongside John Tavares. And
now, is that more a product of him playing with Tavares or
does it matter?
No, it really doesn't.
Because he's the guy playing inside Tavares.
You still have to go finish, right? So
we all thought that it would maybe switch over and be Eberle, but yeah, Anders Lee continues to score. Mark Stone, of course, in Ottawa Ottawa's kind of fallen off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at, even a guy like Zetterberg, who he's not getting a whole lot of praise. He's not putting up massive points, but this team is winning, and he's the captain of this team. And I think that it would have been really easy for Zetterberg to write this team off based on what happened last year.
Sure.
And he knows that, this team's not going to make the playoffs. He's not really going anywhere, though. I don't know. It would have been easy to think that this team wasn't going to be great and not buy into what Jeff Blashill was going to do and wait for the next coach. You know, they, I mean, that was a lot of people thought that Blashill would be gone, that he was early on, he would be one of the early coaches to get poached.
Yeah, he was on the hot seat early, for sure, especially and when they had that four-game losing streak.
Yeah, 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 and I think that he's shown that he's taken the reins of this team. And I think that it allowing a coach time is very important, especially a first-year NHL coach, second year now. I mean, you can't expect a guy to come in and be Mike Babcock his first year. Mike Babcock wasn't Mike Babcock his first year in the NHL.
No, no. He was, no, in Anaheim.
He was still a good coach.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the same guy that he is now.
No, that took some time.
So, I think that some coaches deserve a little bit of time. If you're going to put trust in them, or just don't, or don't do it. Go make the veteran hire to begin with.
So. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Another guy for me, maybe a little underrated, doesn't get a lot of praise, but or you don't hear his name as much, I guess. Let's just put it that way. You don't have that superstar power yet, like Kucherov or Johnny Gaudreau or even Phil Kessel, for that matter. But Jaden Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I mean, people know he's playing very well. But
people know now. Yeah. Yeah.
But he was just, I mean, at the beginning of the year, people thought he was going to play, you know, maybe he would be third or fourth best on that team in terms of points.
Sure.
If that. Sure. And, yeah, now he's out dueling Tarasenko right now.
Is it that he's so good, or is it that he plays with Tarasenko, Braden Schenn fits the line perfectly, and they see, I think you have Tampa Bay where you have Kucherov, Stamkos, and Nemestikov,
mm-hmm.
and that line is so good because Kucherov and Stamkos are awesome. Nemestikov's a good player. He fits the line well, but those two guys feed off each other so well, and they're so damn good. Whereas then you have a line like Tarasenko, Schenn, and Schwartz, where all three are really good players. Obviously, Tarasenko is elite goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one on that line that I would call elite, at least before this season.
Okay.
We'll see what happens through the course of the whole entire season.
That's fair to say.
I think he's driving the line, and you happen to have two guys, both highly skilled, and they play the way that they play a way that meshes with each other. They play with speed. I think that was something that Braden Schenn wasn't able to do when he was in Philadelphia because he was playing that a little bit more of a shutdown role.
Right.
He kind of swapped in and out with Sean Couturier and
at second and third line.
I think that's why the Flyers felt like they could get rid of Schenn because Couturier could come in and do the same thing that Schenn could. Do you have anybody else that you'd throw into that category?
Yeah, one more guy, and I think kind of piggybacking off what you were talking about in Tampa Bay with that line, but a guy who kind of has flown under the radar because of that top line being so good, he's kind of kicked Tyler Johnson out of that second line role, but Braden Point, to me, he's 20 points, 20 games, and he's a plus 10.
On the second line, yeah.
And he's been trusted by John Cooper to take on those defensive tasks of, you know, matching up to those top lines so that Kucherov and Stamkos can be a little bit more free to do what they do. And like you said, second line still putting up 20 points in 20 games, and he's never played, I mean, much outside of the WHL. So, just for me, underrated at this point in the season.
There's over 30 players right now averaging a point per game.
That's excellent. I love it.
Over 30 players.
I love it. I love scoring. Don't get me wrong. As a goaltender, I love seeing scoring. But I also, again, also love it when goalies can steal a game like Jonathan Gibson did the other day. But it's great to see.
The best part is, you know, goal scoring is up a little bit. It's up by about half a goal.
Yeah.
But I think what we're seeing is that it's interesting because this half a goal seems to be distributed amongst the top six forwards.
Yes.
Not equally throughout the league. Because there are way more guys at this point in the season with a point per game than there were last year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if you look at some of the better teams in the league, like your Columbuses, your Pittsburghs, you know, even teams like St. Louis, the top six players, forwards on those lines are putting up where most of the points are, and the secondary scoring is not there. And that's why I think, again, too, you're going to see a lot of moves come before the deadline around December, January time. You're going to see a little bit of a few moves there, and then again many more come deadline time, because teams are going to look for ways to get those bottom six guys scoring. So come playoff time, when the matchups are so key, you can get a couple extra goals out of your bottom six that you're not getting now.
What teams legitimately think they could win the cup right now?
Legitimately, I think it's easy, obviously, to say Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, St. Louis.
Yeah.
There's your obvious ones.
I think Pittsburgh.
Like, New Jersey's not about to go all in on this season.
No.
Not at all.
Pittsburgh's easy to say because they know once they get in, they can do it.
Right. But Pittsburgh's going to get in.
Yes.
I don't really see Pittsburgh doing anything really drastic because they don't need to. They've won two cups in a row.
Sure.
I mean, yes, you love to go for three, but you got to be thinking at this point, you can't lose a first or a second round draft pick at this point.
No, they won't do anything drastic like that.
I don't think that you make those kind of moves.
Because at some point now you got to start reloading the tools.
Right.
You got to start rebuilding.
They're still a good team, but and anything can happen.
Right.
But I don't know if the Penguins are poised to win a third cup this year. They still look fine.
Yeah.
As long as Niemi's not there, which we forgot Niemi for the biggest disappointment.
That's true.
He's been like, the expectations were low for him. Like, nobody was expecting him to be good.
No.
And then he was freaking horrifically bad.
He was about as bad as it possibly could get. And I think it was unfair to even put his name in that category. Just he was that bad. I've tried to block him out of my mind completely.
He's starting for Montreal. Not starting, but like he's gonna play a game.
He will.
Although Price apparently is on this road trip, so maybe he won't.
I'm not reading into that yet.
Maybe he won't. But maybe Price is just going for moral support. Guys, you have to win.
Win for me. I'll come back and then okay. Back on topic here. Another team. For me, that could go all in, Winnipeg Jets. I think it would not shock me to see them deal a first, second-round pick to bring in another good defender, especially now with Enstrom going on IR.
Yeah, for 8 weeks, though.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But when he comes back, even, I think, how much do you really love that defense core?
Yeah, but does Winnipeg need to go all in? I don't think Winnipeg's going all in.
I'm okay with them going all in, though.
I don't think they will. Because they haven't even been able to get to the playoffs. They're not going to go, hey, let's go ham here because we made the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, they have a great core of Scheifele and Laine. You've got Enstrom, and then if Hellebuck
Blake Wheeler
is actually this good, which I don't think he is, but if he's even close to it, if he's a .920 save percentage goaltender,
mm-hmm.
I think that this team looks good for the next 4 or 5 years. They're not going to throw it in now because a first-round pick could play for them in 3 years.
Well, maybe not get rid of a first-round pick, but you throw a second-round pick to get a good number four, maybe number five defenseman, some guy you can throw in there, and soar up that bottom six with a little bit more scoring, would not shock me at all to see them make a move.
Okay.
So
I think that probably LA's got to be thinking, okay, things are going very well. They're going to get back Gabrick, and we'll see how good Gabrick can be. They're going to get back Carter. So I actually don't think they'll make very many moves.
Their moves are getting healthy.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty much.
If they can continue to stay in the top three of that division, then when they get Carter back, there you go. That's fine.
Yeah. A team in that division, actually, that I could see making a move, just because they haven't been able to score, would be San Jose, too. I think their window is much smaller than most teams.
Sure, yeah, San Jose, so. I would agree. Yeah, they can make a move. I think one other team that would be poised to make a move would be the Islanders to me.
Yeah.
Because now this team's winning, if they continue to do exactly what they're doing, they have to show John,
right,
hey, we're willing to go out and we're willing to go scoop a big fish for you. Now, what if the Rangers are out of it?
Okay.
And the Islanders say, we could take Rick Nash off your hands.
Ooh.
You eat half his money because he's unrestricted anyway. So they just eat half the money. He's only a 3 point. I think he's a 7.75 guy.
Something like that.
So they're only on the hook for 3.5 or three.
Right. And
four.
At that point, at the deadline, too, it's even less
right.
money. But
yeah, it doesn't really matter too much. So, yeah, I think Rick Nash going to the Islanders, adding him into their top nine.
Ooh. That would be scary.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be huge.
Still looked pretty good this year, too. I mean, he hasn't put up the numbers, but he's looked good.
Yeah, he has looked good. He looks a little more, should we say, fit?
Yeah, I guess when you get up to that age, you have to be
moving a little more gingerly.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, those would be, and I actually think that Washington may look to do something.
Okay.
Take advantage of a team. I think they're kind of flying under the radar. And come playoff time, who knows? No expectations. Holtby.
Kuznetsov has looked really good this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that wouldn't shock me at all to see them make a play for somebody. They need someone on that back end, first and foremost. So maybe they may make a play of somebody like Gudbranson out of Vancouver, or, you know, maybe even try to, I don't know, poach somebody from, God, who knows where. Maybe get Ryan Murray out of Columbus, but that probably won't happen within the division. But anyways.
Okay, let's go one more award.
Okay, one more. Give it to me.
The Bill Masterton Trophy is for the biggest comeback, essentially. Yeah. And I think there has been some pretty impressive comebacks to the first quarter of the season. We thought Dustin Brown was dead in the water, and he's come out, scored almost a point per game. Corey Schneider was not looking – he looked terrible last year and changed a lot of his offseason training regimens, and he's doing very well for the first-place Devils. Who else am I thinking? I mean, yeah, those two guys are the guys that hit me right away. And then, of course, a Brian Boyle will certainly be up for something like that, where he comes back in his second game, he scores a goal. It's hard to compete with cancer. And I don't say that in a light way, but it's always so impressive when somebody beats it and then continues to play professional sports while they do the treatment. That's insane. I mean, Mario Lemieux did it and led the league in scoring. I think he played 60 games that year, and he had like 145 points or something.
Yeah, insane.
Oh, who would be your Bill Masterton Trophy winner through the first quarter of the season?
Okay, you're going to think this is just funny and ridiculous, and he won't get any consideration as the year rolls on, but right now through the first quarter of the year, this guy to me is my favorite, just because, again, I'm a goaltender. I have a soft spot in my heart for other goaltenders, but Anton Khudobin.
Khudobin.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Last year with Boston, only played 16 games, went 7-6-1, .904 save percentage. Year before that, .909. Hasn't looked that good, but this year, he is the only reason Boston is in any picture at all. He's 5-0-2, a .935 save percentage, .217 goals against. And what's even more hilarious is if you compare his numbers to Tuukka Rask's numbers, he is just blowing him out of the water in every category. Tuukka Rask isn't even sitting at a .900 save percentage yet.
Tuukka Rask has not looked very good.
Seven losses. I mean, so at this point. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if he's a comeback player.
Well, if you consider everything he did the last few years,
that's fair.
He's been bottom out.
Okay. But, I like it. I like it. Thinking outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think to me, it's not close for me.
Not close.
And it's Dustin Brown.
Wow.
Because I don't know anyone that thought, hey, maybe he could score 20 goals again given the right situation. I think that it was like, this guy's a fourth liner now, and my goodness, did they overestimate him.
Yeah.
And now he's a solid first-line winger again.
Yeah.
And I still can't even fathom that.
Yeah, as bad as he's been the last couple years, it is very difficult.
I think he was rated like a 77 in NHL.
Yeah.
Like all that to be said. I mean, those ratings are whatever. But they're usually decently accurate.
Yeah, of course.
In comparison to other guys, too. So, I mean, shoot, for him to be performing the way that he is, it's like 2010 Dustin Brown.
Yeah, you could even throw, Kopitar's name in that ring, too.
2012.
I mean, you know, he obviously didn't have a very good season last year.
What did he have, like, 8 goals last year?
It was something bad, but yeah, and then obviously you can talk about Stamkos. Another guy I like throwing his name in the hat for this one too. Just Claude Giroux just had a very rough couple years in terms of his production, just kept going down and further down.
Yeah,
and,
moving him to the wing has been a beautiful decision,
and he's looked good. So,
by the way, 38 players with a point per game
nuts. Or better
right yeah. now. That is insane.
But and then, of course, my hometown pick, Dylan Larkin. He's just, after that sophomore slump last year, he's come back and he's looked pretty dang good.
Yeah, he has.
So
yeah, he's playing the game with speed. And I think that he's learned to play not so much just north-south.
Yeah.
I think that he's learned to play a little bit with a little more trickery. Like, you can't be as obvious as he was early on. Nobody knew he was fast. And then once they knew he was fast, they'd just play off and he was done.
Right.
Box he didn't out have another move. Anything. He was a one-trick pony. And, right. and I think that he's developed a curveball and a slider.
Yeah, and a guy for as many points as he has, his save percentage is relatively low at 7%. So,
shooting percentage.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, what did I say? Save percentage.
Are we talking about a goalie now? Well, hey, let's do this. That's our awards. Yay for all who won. We'll send you trophies in the mail. There are some holy balls. The Leafs lost 4-1 to the Coyotes tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, hey, all the games are done. There we go. We can and the Jets look like they're going to lose to the Predators. So you know what that means? Ooh. The Arizona Coyotes are the hottest team in the National Hockey League.
Stop it. I'm quitting.
The hottest team.
Quitting the show right now.
Yeah. Yep. Columbus has won 3 in a row also. So tied with the Blue Jackets for the hottest team in the NHL, the Arizona Coyotes. I don't understand.
Unless Winnipeg has just a tremendous third period, yeah, they're going to lose.
Johnny Gaudreau scored again tonight.
Of course he did.
So let's run down. We have a slew of games upcoming. Like we said, 40 games in 3 days. Now, unfortunately, Thursday, there are 0 games.
Which I'm okay with.
But, I mean, yeah, they don't want to compete with the football games for Thanksgiving. And absolutely that's okay. Not. I will be watching the Lions play. And then we'll have the other games on. But, you know, I would love a Thanksgiving game. Like, I wouldn't mind it at all. I would love to watch hockey. You could
do one and make it like an outdoor game, maybe. Make it a big thing.
I don't know if it's cold enough.
It doesn't have to be cold enough. They did outdoor games in California, so.
That's very true. you wouldn't do one in America. I think that it would be
make
lost.
Two Canadian teams do it.
Yeah, but it would. Why would you do that on a Thursday in Canada? Then people don't have enough work.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, whereas Thanksgiving in Canada is like on a Monday in October. We have a lot of games coming up. So, which games are you looking forward to?
Right off the bat, the easy one for me to look at is Edmonton at Detroit. I think again, this would be a good test for the Red Wings. They got to make sure that they play fast. And Jimmy Howard's looked pretty good, so we'll see if they can shut down Connor McDavid and then everybody else. So that's one game I like to look at.
Blackhawks play the Lightning in Tampa Bay. So that'll be a good test for my Vezina trophy winner, Corey Crawford. And the Jets play the Kings.
Yeah, I like that late night game for sure.
Yeah, that's always love those late night games. So that's Wednesday. There's just so many games on. The best part is just you get a couple screens going with a couple games, and you just switch the sound between them. That's the way to do it.
That'll be good.
Moving into Friday, I always like watching the Lightning play the Capitals. I think two pretty skilled teams.
Yeah,
two top sixes that are very skilled. Let's say.
Yeah, Nashville against the Blues. I like that game a little later at 8:00. That'll be interesting. See how the Preds come out and if they can handle.
Top two teams in that division.
Yep.
I also, you know, I like watching the Hurricanes play.
Mm-hmm.
So I do look forward to when the Leafs play them, even though the Leafs don't usually play that well against the Hurricanes. I think they are actually a good barometer for where your team is at because they have such good defensemen.
Yeah, like they got
you don't usually blow Carolina out of the water.
No, there's a team, too, that could make a move at the deadline, I think, to move one of their defensemen to bring in some scoring help. And who, by the way, Sebastian Aho is finally scoring some goals here.
Yes, he is. also, the Blue Jackets play the Senators. The Senators are 8-5-6.
Yeah, they're not losing.
They're 8-11, but they're three games over .500 because of overtime losses. That's stupid.
And by the way, Matt Duchene, 0 points through 5 games for them. When is he going to pick it up?
Yeah, struggling.
Maybe he needs to change numbers again.
Maybe he needs to change his scenery. When's he going to ask for a trade?
Right. Yeah, another game on Friday I wouldn't mind watching either. San Jose at Vegas. I think this will be a good benchmark for San Jose to see if they're really if they're really going to start competing again. Like we always say, you know, that whole Thanksgiving, you're in or you're out kind of thing.
Yep. Lightning play the Penguins. That'll be a good one. And then the Wild and the Blues.
Ooh.
Always like those
on
two,
Saturday, yeah.
Two teams going up against each other. And then, of course, I just lost it. Oh, the Red Wings and the Devils. That's actually, I think that the Red Wings and the Devils are very close in the amount of skill that they have between those two teams.
Ooh.
I think that the Devils have overperformed, in my opinion.
And the same could be said for the Red Wings as well.
But I like the Red Wings have some nice kids, and the Devils have kids, and they're all fast.
Yes.
So I think those two teams going up against each other should be, I think, a high scoring game. I would watch that game for the goals.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, and Sunday, I kind of like the whole Boston-Edmonton matchup we got going on there too. That'll be interesting to see with Peter Chiarelli's old team.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. We will not be recording an episode on Thursday because
no,
we will be Thanksgiving-ing it. But are you playing hockey?
I'm going to. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So we're playing street hockey on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I'm pumped over this. I'm trying to locate my backup goalie pad so that I can ruin them on the street if need be.
Yes.
So
maybe we'll just melt. We'll freeze some ice right in front.
Yeah,
he can wear skates.
There you go. I talked to your brother Luke today about it too.
Good.
He's pumped. He told me he says yeah, we got another guy to play goalie, and he's got an extra set if you need to. So
perfect.
You can ruin those.
We just need to find a net.
Yes.
well, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You, as in like the listener, not you.
I am thankful.
I wish
for
you,
hockey.
Justin, a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
As well.
Me too.
But I will wish it to you on Thanksgiving.
That's and not score any goals. I mean, there you go.
Yes. Yes. So we'll see. We'll see how we do Wednesday night going out to Ann Arbor and how well I do Thursday morning.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Well, this has been Overtime Hockey Talk. You know, you can find us on Twitter. It'd be great. We'd love to hear from you on there, at OT Hockey Talk. You can also go to OTHockeyTalk.com and check us out on there. You can find us anywhere podcasts are sold.
We do social media right.
We do. We do it.
Yeah, we do it.
So that means we do it right.
It's very true.
Perfect. Well, we will be back next Monday. That will be the next day that we record. That'll be Monday, November the 27th. Ooh. So we will talk to you then. We'd love to hear your questions. Just tweet at us, shoot us stuff on Facebook, and we'll answer your questions on the show.
Very true. Tell me what you're thankful for. That's what I want to know.
All right.
Yeah.
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for hockey, so.
I'm thankful for Austin Matthews.
Yeah, there it is.
All right. Have a good rest of your week.